had a newborn at the time, and the true story, I was killing rats in Manhattan for $150 a day. I was coming home at midnight, exterminating in Manhattan. It was a big dip in compared to what I used to do. Real talk, you know, at 40 versus six or seven years ago, nobody saw me coming home crying to my wife because of how depressed I was and how I didn't understand where my life was going. They just see me today. Oh, shoot, must be nice. Another vacation.
Yeah.
And this isn't me being insecure. This is me saying, like, I have one person to prove something to. It's myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go on 5-6 vacations. I'll wear what I want, dress how I want, go where I want, interview who I want, and it's fucking nice. That's the answer. It's nice. Because I'm also remembering where I was 5-6
sure.
years ago, and I'm in control of my journey. No one else.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
Drew Romano, the insurance goat, and today I was fortunate enough to be a guest with Krista on The Fix episode, and we talked about life experience and how we block out outside noise and how we continue to grow and be better people and keep growing and be perfecting our craft. So super excited. Stay tuned. Must watch this. Drew Romano, the insurance goat. Keep going.
Jude, welcome to the Fix podcast. I am so excited to have you here. We've been talking about this for months
and
finally making it happen. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
As I mentioned pre-recording, and I know you're a coffee drinker because we've had coffee together.
Sure.
We like to kick things off and ask all of our guests what your go-to coffee order is. So what are you sipping on in the morning?
So I'm not a big coffee drinker. Don't
worry. Okay.
I try not to drink coffee every day, but my go-to coffee, am I allowed to give more than one answer?
Yeah, of course. Go all for
right,
it.
So one, you saw me at Prep Coffee, Red Bank, New
yep,
Jersey.
So good.
Surf Coffee, Red Bank, New Jersey. And last but not least, Paris Baguette, Red Bank, New Jersey. All three on Broad Street. Pick your pick.
Great spots. Now, are you an iced coffee guy, hot coffee guy? Like, what are you ordering specifically?
Yeah, so hot weather ice, cold weather hot.
Okay.
But again, you know, try not to. But if I do, those are the spots.
Nice. I feel like you have enough energy that you don't necessarily
yeah,
need
yeah,
coffee.
Yeah, coffee just brings me up to the level that people can't handle, you know?
Well, that's going to show through in this episode. So I'm excited to get into it. So let's dive right into it. And as I mentioned, you know, you can tell us your resume. You can tell us who you are. We're obviously going to talk about insurance for everybody watching the video. They can see you repping the insurance goat. And I want to get the whole story behind that. I actually don't know, even know the history behind the name. So I definitely want to make sure I ask you that question because I've always wondered. But more specifically than what you do on a daily basis, tell me why the Fix listeners should care about your message and what you have to say in this episode.
So I mean, listen, high level energy guy. Like to have fun, really starting to understand how short life is and how a lot of things don't really matter. For those of the people who do know me or have seen me, I think my behavior and my attitude is pretty evident. It's real. It's genuine. This is who I am off camera, on camera. And I just want to be around good people, be super happy, and I try to remove any negative energy I can. And by design, I do insurance, right? But I consider myself to be a really fun, outgoing person while doing insurance. And I'm out there. I'm out there in the community. You know, you see.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. And I really like what you just said about life not being too serious and things not seeming like they matter so much. Because I have really seen just even in the last like 10, 12 months from a professional perspective, it's so easy as a business owner to get caught up in a lot of day-to-day things and feel like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. But when you kind of remove a lot of that sentiment and just say, this is not that serious. Tomorrow's a new day. The next day is going to come regardless. I have found that I'm way more successful. Like things just naturally, I don't want to say they come to me because I put in a lot of effort, but I'm curious what your take is on that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, realistically, we're human, right?
Yeah.
So we could tell ourselves all we want that we're not going to let this and this bother us. And then, you know, sometimes it grabs us, right? Sometimes it grabs us. But I think if we can self-consciously continue to think, okay, what is it that I'm facing and how serious is this? I think if we really self-consciously peel that onion back And we start to realize that the things that we're worrying and stressing and getting ourselves sick over is really not that serious, right? So I know we're about 10 or 11 years apart, but for me, at this stage of the game, having two daughters, a wife, I am starting to realize more and more every day that my health is number one, right? And I know that speaks volume to what you do and your business and what you preach every day, but my health is absolutely number one. Number two, you know, with that, you know, you gotta be happy. So, and there's a lot of outside noise today around us. Everyone's dealing with it. So how you block that outside noise out today is harder than it was 2 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
'cause there's just so much bad things going on around us. And I think for people like you and I who are very high level, I think today we're working so much harder to block it out than we were a year or two ago. And so my message to all the entrepreneurs out there and people who are pushing to grow every single day, I commend them, I commend us for continuously keep going and having really good attitude, because there's days that I'm sure you feel the same, that we want to just throw in the towel and say, you know, are we allowed to curse on the
show? Yeah, you can curse.
Fuck this, right?
Seriously. Yeah, no, it's tough, and especially with blocking out the noise, I find, like, I know better than to scroll on social media and kind of do those sorts of activities or behaviors that are not going to serve me, but I can get sucked in just as much as the next person, and then it's like 20 minutes go by, and I'm like, okay, I was just using this to kind of numb out, and it didn't make me feel good in any capacity, and I could have used that 20 minutes to do something that was more productive for myself. Doesn't even have to move the needle in my business in any way, but even just like taking a few minutes for me to breathe.
Sure.
And you mentioned that you've realized recently that your health is the most important, and I find as an entrepreneur that is really hard to prioritize sometimes, because when you're looking at how many directions you're pulled in, we were talking off air before we started recording, how much of a full-time job it is just to record content, maintain your Instagram, right? So on days when you have a ton of shit happening, I don't know about you, but I've gone through periods in my life, even as a fitness professional, the first thing I'll cut is my workout. Because I'm like, okay, I got to go do this.
Which is the last thing you should cut.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It is the last thing that I should cut, especially if I want to practice what I preach. So I want to know, for you, in the last several years, and as you've even realized more and more that your health is so important, what kind of non-negotiables do you have, or even what kind of changes have you made to your routine, your schedule, your life, to make sure that you're not giving up that kind of time?
For sure. Well, my wife's uncle's a doctor, and he shared something with me maybe, let's call it, 3 years ago. Okay. And sometimes people share things with me, and I hear them, but I don't absorb them. And for whatever reason, I absorbed this statement from him. So him being in the medical profession and a doctor, he said to me, he said, Jude, you owe yourself at least an hour a day before you give anything to anyone else. He goes, you owe it to yourself first. Forget your calls. Forget your business. Forget everything. And I said to myself, I said, you know what? I said, that's powerful. Because he was essentially just going a little deeper, trying to say that if you don't give yourself that hour, who's going to give it to you?
Right.
And you're most important, because if you're not looking out for yourself, how can you look out for everyone else?
Of course.
Whether it's business, family, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so that stuck with me. And so now my philosophy, when I get up every day, and listen, I run, you know, a very successful insurance practice, which is obviously super important to me. However, I go to the gym. It's the first thing I do. And my phone goes on to do not disturb. And the reason I do that is because I can't allow anyone to cut into my time.
Yeah.
And I also understand that by the time I leave the gym, nothing that crucial would have happened in that short period of time where I need to have stopped what I'm doing to answer them. And so in order for me to perform my best and be the best for my family, for my clients, but most importantly for myself, I have been very adamant and strict about giving myself that time first every single day.
Yeah, I've made that change myself in the last month. For a while, I got into the habit of working out at the end of the day, or like in the middle of the day, because I do have an unusual schedule where if my clients can't take calls or have meetings or sessions or whatever, at like 2 o'clock, I would say to myself, okay, this is the time that I can hit my workout.
Right.
When you're in the thick of working on something and you just want to get it done, it becomes really easy to be like, oh, I'll do this later. And I have, I would say, for the last like 6 weeks or so, like I made a promise to myself at the beginning of July, end of June, that I would work out first thing in the morning. And like you, put my phone in do not disturb, because it's very easy to pick it up. It's very easy to answer a DM, check a client message, whatever it is. And I found that like, I say to myself, okay, maybe I don't start my day of client work until 10:30, 11. It has been so much better for me. I feel so much better. I can then remind my clients that. And I want to really highlight what you mentioned even about family too, because we have a lot of listeners of this show that are female. I work one-on-one with a lot of moms, and so often they're really quick to not feel like they can carve out that time.
Well, yeah. So, well, it's just behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, 99% of everything that we do is in our head. And this is, you know, I've been doing a lot more thinking and slowing down, you know, so little history. I've always been in sales since I'm a young kid. Okay. Right. And I worked for JP Morgan for 15 years. So always very high level,
fast
execution, execution. Right. And so now I'm starting to slow down, not in my performance, but in the way I think and in the way I move. And look, the answer is simple. Okay. The answer really is simple. You have to just hold yourself accountable, right? I talk to so many people who are so successful, far more successful than me, and they'll say like, oh, I don't have the time. I'm like, no, you do have the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not finding the time.
Right.
Right? I don't have the time, or I can't find the time. Like, let's really peel that back.
Because, and how you phrase it.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, put it like this. The core focus of... Well, first off, a large reason why I put health first is not from an appearance perspective, but from a mental perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mentally don't feel okay if I don't start my day with activity, whatever that might be. So I just think it's priority. It's the most important thing. And again, I'm not a fitness instructor. I'm not a weightlifter, but you know, I do suffer from a lot of anxiety, which I think 90% of people probably do.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that when I don't start my day with what I'm supposed to, the rest of the day doesn't really pan out the way I'd like it to. Right. And I feel really high strung.
Yeah.
And then you add a coffee in there.
You're like, forget it.
And goat on the street could become a little violent that day. Right. But yeah, so that's my take on it. So for all the moms out there, you know. I mean, my wife, she tries to get to the gym every day, and, you know, pending whether my little one's cooperating on going to daycare at the gym or whatever it may be. But you got to do it. Got to do it, right? You owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself. So if you don't feel good, the people around you are not going
to
feel good.
No, they're going to feel that. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on is because, like you said, you're not a fitness professional. And I think people need to see that there are people that are busier than you, like, and it's not a competition.
Right.
It's not to say like, oh, well, if Krista can do it, if Jude can do it, then you have no excuse. But what you said about having saying you don't have the time versus intentionally making the time. I had put up an Instagram reel the other day that had this great audio clip. I have no idea where it was from, but the first three or four words of it was like, if you never have the time, you will never have the time. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, it is that simple, but that is so powerful.
It's that actually, I'm going to piggyback off that. So I have a statement that it's, if you want to be all in, you have to be all in.
I like
that. Right? So it's same concept.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really powerful stuff. For those of you who don't know or already know, obviously I have my own podcast in Red Bank, New Jersey. And Krista, I have a quick question for you.
Go for it.
You know, obviously, I've been doing all these interviews locally in Monmouth County specifically, some back in my hometown in Staten Island. So my question to you is, which interview caught your attention that you like? And who would you like to see the Insurance Go interview next?
Oh, well, I have to shout out all of your recent, we were talking about this before we started recording, and I have to shout out all of your local restaurants and businesses that you've been interviewing. If you want to give everybody a little more background too on like some of your man on the street kind of stuff when you ask random questions.
Sure.
I would say, I'm going to give you two.
Sure.
So the first thing I would say is like any of the restaurant clips. I love the ones you did with Gabriella's. Those are really fun. I know they've had some changes like to the design of the restaurant and things like that. So it's cool to see that.
Sure.
And just kind of get that behind the scenes look. But the one series that you had started, I think, is more of just like an Instagram series versus podcast episodes. Mm-hmm. But it was going around asking people if they feel like they're living out their dreams.
Oh, yes.
That one, I just loved.
Got chills when you said it out loud. It, yeah.
And like the first few that you started off with, they were all in Red Bank, right?
Sure.
And I think like the first two or three clips were kids, yeah, or at least people who are not even 20 years old.
Sure.
And I think to go back to everything that you mentioned, like there's so much noise. I feel like in the last like 5 years in particular for me, like I'm such a different person than I was at even like 27 versus 29 or 22 versus almost 30. Like there's so much growth in that window, and what I thought I was going to do in college versus what I'm doing now is wildly different. And I'm very grateful for my parents always encouraging me to explore different things. You know, I went the more liberal arts route to go to college, and sometimes people poo-poo that, but I'm actually really grateful for that because I was forced to take lots of different types of classes and I wasn't necessarily locked into a track. And I think having lots of different experiences, studying abroad, traveling, what have you, gave me more confidence to be able to explore different things and take some of those risks that I don't think a lot of other people take. But I think if, like, and I'd be curious on your perspective on this as a dad and having children that are coming into their teenage years, like it's got to be even harder now with the pressure of TikTok, Instagram. Now we have Threads. There's all these different platforms. It's so easy to compare yourself to other people. I find myself doing it a lot, that it's like, how do you navigate that? So somebody like yourself, while that might have been a seemingly inconsequential like 90 seconds of that kid's day, mm-hmm, that you went up to them and asked them that question, or even asked them, I think you had a few other variations of it, if I remember correctly, it's like, what do you think you need to do to live out your dream and that sort of stuff? You have no idea the type of impact that that could have had on anybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's one of the gentlemen that that I did an interview with on the street, and we're in the talks of, you know, I'm trying to help him explore his career.
Cool.
Possibly with the insurance goal.
That's amazing.
Not, you know, and so the idea behind that, right? Because for people who just tune in and watch a quick clip, like, you know, they don't understand. Some of them may not understand the real meaning behind why it is I'm out there doing what I'm doing, mm-hmm, right? And even when I do the interviews with the restaurants or business owners, the underlying reason is all tied together. You know, I worked for corporate America for so long and I did well, but it didn't make me happy. Mm-hmm. So if someone asked me, are you following your dreams? The answer would be no.
Right.
Right. And I say, I think a lot of people, they confuse success and money.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't want to go too off track, but success could mean someone who works at McDonald's, who's worked their way up to be a district manager, maybe buys their own franchise one day. That's success.
Totally.
Right? If that's what they want.
Right.
If someone drives a school bus and it makes them happy to get kids safely to school and home every day, that's success. People misunderstand the word success. You know, which essentially go deeper is following your dreams. I ask people, are you following your dreams? Because if I meet someone on the street and they say, I've been dancing since I'm 7 years old, I'm 25, I absolutely love it, I'm in my lane, nothing makes me happier, they're following their dreams.
Yeah.
So I go around and I ask people, because for me, it's almost like analytics. I'm curious to see how many people out there are actually following their dreams and are happy with what they're doing. And then when I meet with a business owner, the layer behind that is, hey man, everyone's first word is must be nice, right? Mm-hmm. You have this successful restaurant, Gabriella's, Panini Grill, Jay's on the Bay, Tellurcio's, right? Red Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, you go to, you see the must be nice. But does anyone see behind the scenes that individual up at 4 a.m., 5 a.m.,
working holidays,
planning new menu, yeah, working on holidays, working on Fridays, working on Saturdays. You know, I think it was Eric from Tellurcio's that when we were talking off camera,
mm-hmm,
you know, he was telling me what time he gets in and what time he leaves.
Yeah.
Kid works 150 hours a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's real fucking nice.
Right.
Right? And so that's why I talk to these people, because I want people to understand and see what's behind.
Totally.
It must be nice.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that. I want to say two things, but I will throw in there, since I didn't directly answer the question of the next business, keeping the restaurant theme, you should totally interview my friends over at Hearthly Burger, which is technically in Shrewsbury.
I'm familiar. I ate there a few times.
Chris is the owner. He's awesome. Their burger is phenomenal.
Yeah.
People who listen to the show and follow my Instagram.
It's in the Grove, the other side.
On the other side. They know that I love a good burger. Like, I have rankings of all the great burgers around Monmouth County. Another one that I would put in there is Grand Tavern, if you haven't been there.
Where's that?
It's technically like Bradley Beach, but it's kind of in between Neptune and Bradley Beach. Very unassuming restaurant on a street that, like, you wouldn't want to drive down or walk down at night by yourself necessarily.
Okay.
It is a hidden gem. Really small place, like amazing cocktails and just
Grand Tavern, Healthy Burger. Say
Hearthly Burger and Grand Tavern.
You're gonna send me these names after our recording.
Yep.
You're gonna let them know that maybe the goat might come.
Yes. Pop in there.
What's my ass? Well, so here's the thing, right? So here's the thing. So for your friends who I may visit one day.
Yeah.
Any place that I visit, I'm going to give you a little secret out the closet.
Yeah, tell me.
Any place that I visit, specifically a restaurant.
Okay.
They are introducing something on the menu.
Okay.
After the goat.
Cool.
So in Tellurcio, stay tuned. We got the goat hero coming. Panini grown Staten Island.
Can you tell me what's on some of these?
No, not yet.
Until the big reveal.
It's a surprise, but we'll
see it up on the board. As long as there's protein, I'm happy.
Yes, definitely.
That's the most important thing.
We'll make sure there's protein. But send me those names after the show, and we'll definitely visit those. But so this is where we're at. You know, this is where we're at. Making sure that people are holding themselves accountable to do what makes them happy.
Yeah. And I want to draw to everything you just said about the must be nice comment. There is a huge parallel to fitness and nutrition and aesthetic goals with that, because it's easy, like I said, to compare to other people. It's easy to make assumptions about a person who maybe has the physique that you desire, or somebody who, I hear this with women a lot. They're like, oh, I have these friends who can just like eat whatever they want, or they don't really need to worry about this. I was definitely that person when I was in high school. I felt like the girls that I was hanging out with at the time, like they always could just kind of have anything and I had to be the one to watch what I ate. But at the same time, like, as a maturity that you develop inside of your fitness journey, one, you start to get way less focused on the scale and more focused on how you feel. Yes, you can measure things like how your clothes fit. There's a confidence that comes along with that that is so important that I don't want to downplay. However, half the time, the people that have the physique that some of my clients are like, oh, well, why can't I just have that? I have to call them out and be like, you are not doing the things on a regular basis that this person has committed to.
Sure.
Especially with timelines, like in wanting to lose 10 pounds in X amount of time. And I see so much more growth with my clients when they call themselves out for just kind of going through the motions. The best part about having a coach is you do kind of have that person built in to do that. But it's a very clear analogy, like when you're, you know, comparing or admiring somebody else's success in like a business perspective, I just tend to see the same thing a lot when it comes to fitness and the results that people want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many simple sayings that one could tell themselves without complicating things. Mm-hmm. Like, if nothing changes, nothing changes.
Yeah.
The end, right? Yeah. So when someone's like complaining about something, it's like, well, what have you done to change that?
Right.
And if the answer is nothing, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I hate to say it like that,
but
you know?
It's true.
So my philosophy is, if you're healthy and if you're healthy and have the ability to do what you want, where some people don't, I don't want to hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. Unless you're complaining about, like, I can't walk, I can't move. All right, it's a different story. Otherwise, you know, do the work.
Right.
You know, must be nice.
I know. I want to pivot slightly because I don't want to forget to ask the question, but I need to know the history behind the brand, the insurance goat. Where did it come from? Did you start the insurance business first and this developed over time? Walk me through the story.
Yeah, so exactly. That's what we did. Okay. So, you know, without boring everyone, because this is the theme of where I'm going with this. Insurance is a very boring topic, all right? And
it's not sexy.
And it actually stresses people out,
sure.
Most people, right? Yeah. The auto insurance goes up, home insurance goes up. So it stresses people out. So for the last few years, I've come to understand that there's a common theme behind insurance company names. And I'm talking about like local insurance offices. Mm-hmm. So typically people will take their last name. And
sure.
This is no offense to anyone out there, because
I'm sure people are very sick.
But, you know, like Romano Agency, right? So I'm Jude Romano. Romano Agency, and that's what people do. Romano Agency, Romano Insurance, Romano Brokerage. And I started to say, well, there's there's nothing that speaks to people with this other than that's your fucking name, yeah. right? So, so I thought that the insurance goat brought a sexy vibe to the insurance business. And the idea of the insurance goat is to simply just be a personality that people become familiar, comfortable with, and they feel like they know me without ever even meeting me. And, you know, and when I become a household name over time, when insurance matters come up, the idea is for people to say, well, what about that guy, Jude Romano, the insurance goat?
Right. He's pretty cool. It's a part of your name at that point. Yeah.
He's cool. He's fun. And the real vision is to change the way the industry looks at insurance. That's the real vision, mm-hmm. but it's a big vision. You know, it's a big vision, right? So my philosophy is when, you know, just to keep it simple, when people bring up the word insurance, it's an uncomfortable conversation. So how do we remove some of that discomfort and say, we'll just talk to the insurance go? No, my goal is to be an advocate for the clients mm-hmm. and not to be the person who essentially sells stuff to them, because there's plenty of clients that I help out that aren't my clients. You know, sure. It's about guiding them in the right direction, just like you would on the fitness yeah. side. You know, so just being an advocate, but with a little sexy vibe behind mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about how have you seen that maybe that's changed in like the evolution of your relationship with your clients, or even just like talking to other people in the industry, like what it's like.
Comparison. So I love the fact that people refer to me as the GOAT.
Yeah.
I love the fact when it's clients fun. Or people I know make goat sounds to me, because that's something I've done on the street as well. So it's cool, you know, like, listen, it's cool when some text me after helping them and they're like, wow, you're really the goat. Like, it's amazing. Like, that means more to me than the actual comp that right. I received from helping the client.
Yeah.
So I'm just really trying to, look, realistically, I'm just being me, right? I'm being me with my brand, and that's it. And however that looks in the next 5 to 10 years, is how it was designed to look, you know? So, and I'm a big advocate of just being yourself. Don't be someone you're not. Don't get caught up in a shadow of someone you're not. You spoke a little bit about people comparing themselves to others yeah. and whatnot. I think that that's probably, in my opinion, one of the strongest points an entrepreneur or anyone who's looking for self-growth could focus on, right? And where I'm going with that is you shouldn't compare yourself to anybody. If you're around a group of people who are successful and do well, and they're mentors or people you look up to, and you want to strive to become similar to them and how they behave and act in their success, well, that's a great thing. But when you compare yourself to someone, I think you're already setting yourself up for failure, because we're all different, right? You mentioned before about people having a certain physique and can eat anything they want. And listen, there's a lot of validity behind that. And if anyone says no, then they're a moron, right? There is validity yeah. behind that, because, you know, my brother, for example, he eats like, forget about it. The kid is 170 pounds his whole life and he doesn't even work out, right? Now, me, on the other hand, I don't have that physique. And I think a lot of it has to do with genetics. Mm-hmm. And it just means that I have to work that much harder than yeah. him to be in his shape, right? And you have to accept that. It is what it is, yeah, you know?
It is.
So I'm a big advocate of, I don't compare myself to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, a good friend of mine who's beyond successful said, the minute you stop looking at others and focusing on what others are doing, you will see how far up in the sky you go. When I listened to that advice 5-6 years ago, I grew my business about 3,000%.
I believe it. I do. I totally believe it. And you started to kind of answer this follow-up question that I had anyway, so I want to expand on it a little bit more, but in unapologetically being yourself. For you in your life, like, is this just something you've always kind of been this way? I think a lot of people, there's kind of like two categories in my mind. There's people who've just like have been wired like that since they came out of the womb. And then there's other people who maybe they had like a life event or had that like soul searching experience where they were unfulfilled or unhappy in a career, relationship, what have you. And then they kind of took a big step back, made a huge change in their life, and then really found themselves, so to speak. So as a parent, maybe tell me how you're having this conversation with your kids. Like, how are you modeling that for them or talking to them about really trying to figure out who they are and then continue to show up as that person every day as that person evolves too?
I mean, like, I don't want to be cliche, but for me, like, the answer and how I advice people that I care and love about is super simple. Like, be a good person and do what makes you happy. And when I say do what makes you happy, not something that could harm you or harm others around you, but, you know, like, listen, I think making money and being successful is beyond important, especially if you have a family and you want to do things and you want to buy a house
and experience.
You
want to
put, you want to go away. Like, you need money, right? Yeah. So for anyone who says like money doesn't matter, shut the fuck up. Yeah. It does matter, right?
I just had this conversation with a friend the other day.
I mean, listen, it matters, right? Yeah. But it's not, it shouldn't be number one, yes. Right? So, so here's what I say, you know, obviously, you know, asking the question about the kids, I have two daughters. If my daughters were to, I'm going to give you an example, either have a choice of A, being a lawyer and making $500,000 a year, or B, call them a teacher or a social worker that makes $100,000 a year. But that is where their heart was and it was going to make them feel good. I say do that all fucking day. Don't do something for $500,000 that makes you miserable.
No.
What the fuck does the money matter if you're miserable, right?
Seriously,
or wrong?
It's so true.
Listen,
so
can I be honest with you? Yeah. I hate insurance. Insurance sucks. I'm wearing the hat, the shirt. It sucks. But there's got to be someone there who stands behind the clients and say, I got your back.
Right.
Right?
So, and like, that's a part of it that you like.
Yeah, I don't wake up and say, I love insurance. Right. I don't love insurance. Listen, should I lie? Should I sit here and say,
shouldn't.
I love insurance?
You shouldn't.
No, but you know what I do? I love connecting with people. Mm-hmm. I love helping people. I love advising people to make good decisions.
Sure. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but before I was in fitness full time, it was just a side gig for me. I worked in finance. I was at Bank of America. Then I worked for an asset manager, Barings. Ugh, and I hated it. I hated it. I couldn't do it. And initially it was the, okay, well, like, you're about to graduate college, you're getting a job offer before you even walk into your senior year. Like, the logical side of the brain kicks in and you're like, how could you say no? But the one thing I did that I'm so glad that I did, because I wouldn't be sitting here right now having this conversation with you, is I always used my free time to pour into the things that I was passionate about, and then started to figure out a way how they could make me money and it could be a viable living. I worked, like, let's go back to the must be nice comment. While I had that desk job and that traditional corporate job, I was waking up at 4 or 5 a.m. several days a week, teaching classes in the mornings, running home, taking a shower, changing into a corporate outfit, and then going to work. And then at the end of the day, 5, 6 o'clock rolls around, going back to the gym to do my own workout. And that was my routine for a long time. And compared to other people who, no judgment, but like, I was 22, I wasn't necessarily using every night of the week or weekend to socialize, go out to bars, whatever. Like, I still had plenty of fun. But I'm so glad that I committed to doing that, because it helped me actually explore what I truly like to do. And I don't think I would have ever considered it otherwise.
Well, you sound really ahead of the curve for your age from an experience perspective. So it makes complete sense. But yeah, you know, that must be nice comment is, I guess it's personal for me. Mm-hmm. And I'll share a little bit of a deeper story as to why.
Please.
So I worked for JP Morgan for a while, and without going into detail, I decided to resign because it was just taking too much of everything inside of me. And so with that, I was doing okay there, right? So with that, I had a trial of trying to figure out what my next lane was
going to be.
And in the interim of that, before Jude Romano even understood the word insurance or the insurance goat was created, I was exterminating with a dear friend of mine who owns a company just so that I can produce some income to feed my family.
Sure.
Had a newborn at the time. And the true story, I was killing rats in Manhattan for $150 a day. Okay. And I was coming home at 12 midnight, you know, exterminating in Manhattan. And it was a big dip in compared to what I used to do.
Sure.
And I was trying to find. So real talk, you know, at 40 versus 6 or 7 years ago, nobody saw me coming home crying to my wife because of how depressed I was and how I didn't understand where my life was going. They just see me today. Oh, shoot, must be nice. Another vacation.
Yeah.
And so for me, and this isn't me being What's the word I'm looking for? When you're can't think of it. Insecure. This isn't me being insecure. This is me saying, like, you know, this is, I have one person to prove something to. It's myself. Mm-hmm. So I'll go on 5-6 vacations. I'll wear what I want, dress how I want, go where I want, interview who I want. And it's fucking nice. That's the answer. It's nice. Because I'm also remembering where I was 5-6 sure. years ago. And I'm in control of my journey. No one else. And yeah. I don't care about that outside noise. You don't like it? Don't watch the show.
Exactly. It's so true.
Simple.
Yeah. It's so true.
I'm winning for me. If you want to win with me, let's win.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that next part is like, really, I think I wish there would be more of a transition with that. I think I don't know if you see this in your industry, but obviously can only speak specifically to fitness in the last several years of diving into this area full time. And even just like the transitions, obviously, like a lot has been disrupted between COVID and gyms being closed. And like there's so many, I think, reasons you could point to this. However, one of the challenges that I have that I just have seen time and again is people get really territorial over their concept of like whatever kind of fitness programming they developed, the brand that they have, what their boutique studio is like, how it's different
get
from the
over
person
it.
Down the street. Fitness is fitness. There are more than 70% of the population, unfortunately, is obese, mm-hmm. and less than 33% of the population has a gym membership. So if you have a scarcity mindset that like there's not enough to go around, mm-hmm. that's ridiculous just statistically. But second, it's like we're in the business of trying to get people healthier. So why wouldn't you want to see other people win?
Sure.
And I'm very grateful for the fact that I actually think the online space has changed this. Because there's way more collaboration among nutrition coaches in particular. Like I have a nutrition coach that I work with. I know I could call him anytime. He's been on my podcast. I know he would talk to my clients if I wanted to do some kind of like Zoom meeting with them or something like that. I'm always talking to other coaches if I have a client situation that's kind of stumping me. And I'm like, hey, I can't figure out, like, am I missing something with this person? But I have found often in like maybe the more like boutique space in particular, everyone is so like protective of their own shit. And it's just like, why can't we all just be like, hey, I want to see you win too? And it's something that I hope will continue to change, but it's definitely a point of frustration.
It's very frustrating. Well, I'll say a few things to that. I don't know the exact statement, but what do they say? They say the biggest form of flattery is
imitation.
Imitation,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And yeah, it's annoying. It definitely is annoying, but look, here's what I'll say. Just based off an experience and my thought process is like, first off, there's plenty of clients for everyone. That's one, yeah. Right? And secondly, I don't believe clients choose a program. I think they choose the individual.
Totally.
So, copy a program, duplicate it, have this one, that one, don't have this one. They choose the individual. And that goes back to the two words, be you, right? Be you. And the people who should work with you will work with you. People who should do insurance with me will do insurance with me. I lose clients every day. I'm not going to lie. My stomach turns for a second and I'm
sure.
Like, I'm not, they're not meant to be
there'll
with
be
me.
Another one. Right.
Not meant to be with me.
Yeah.
You know, does it suck? Of course it sucks, but they're not designed to be with me. And then I have clients who are with me who would not even second guess, should I work with someone else?
Sure.
So, and those are the people that I'm in business for, right? So, you know, you think you got to strengthen, not you in general, you mm-hmm. got to strengthen your mind and wrap your head around what goes on around you. A lot of distraction.
Yeah.
A lot of distraction. I don't know if you're familiar with the gentleman, Rob from Almost Home.
Yes.
Shout out to Rob. Yep. You know, honestly, he's an entrepreneur that I personally really look up to. That guy doesn't stop.
He doesn't.
From a fitness perspective, no, not, from a business
that's what I was about to add. I mean, it's crazy.
That guy, yeah. No, seriously, he's very impressive. Like when I think I'm doing enough, I look at his shit yep. and I'm like, nope,
let's
keep
do
going.
More. Yeah.
Keep going.
So
you
true.
Know?
So true.
So, you know, but see, that's positive impact.
Exactly. It's not in like a negative way.
No.
Of, yeah. No, you know? it's motivating. I think the best word is like it's inspiring.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shout out to Pops. So that's my story, my friend. That's my story. Jude Romano, the insurance goat. This is who I am. This is who I bleed. I'm never going to stop.
Well, I love it. And I want to ask you two more questions before we wrap up the episode. One of them is a little bit more on like the food and nutrition side of things, because mm-hmm. you mentioned your fitness routine. You mentioned that first hour of the day. That's your non-negotiable. But we've been talking a lot about blocking out the noise, distractions, keeping your mind sharp. So for you personally, how does nutrition fit into your day? I think this is a question I get a lot from clients or even potential clients just around somebody who is really busy and on the go. You're going from one meeting to the next. We're talking about you being out on the street interviewing people. What do you do to keep some kind of structure to your habits and your food choices?
It's a big challenge, right? Yeah. And on a personal level, I just, you know, got some news that was a little alarming to me on Monday about, you know, some blood results. So now it was alarming, where it's like, okay, Jude, like now, like, you know, the way you eat needs to be like
aligned,
even more important than getting to the gym, mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm not really a big fitness person, but some people say it's 90% of what you eat, 10% of working out, whatever, right? But the idea is, it's challenging, right? Especially when you're on the go. But I guess the simple answer for me would be, small changes every day lead to big changes. And so that's been my mindset, right? You know, maybe instead of drinking iced tea, I've changed to water. Mm-hmm. And over the course of time, that equals a lot.
Sure.
Instead of, you know, eating the bread that comes before your food, don't eat the bread.
Yeah.
And it changes over time. You know, don't eat after 8. Little change. So one little change, two little change, three little change. And then over the course of time, those little changes equate to something big. And that's it's kind of been my core focus more recently.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I was 230, 240. I'm 190 lean and mean.
You look great.
Listen, they're telling me they want me to perform in a weightlifting contest. I don't know. But no, listen, so that's my thought. But I don't want to get too overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I think it could overwhelm people, but everyone's different. You know?
Yeah, and no, it can. Like, I'm totally aligned with what you just said. And when we first start working with clients, most of the, I don't want to call it a mistake, but one of the areas that they're kind of like, their perspective is off, is they feel, especially with women who tried a million things. Most of the people that we work with at the Fitness Fix, they've already tried everything. So it's like, by the time they get to you, they're like, Krista, like, this needs to actually work.
Right,
so like,
right.
Give me the thing that's actually going to work, because I'm at my limit of frustration. But because they've tried so many things, for a lot of them, the last resort plan, let's call it, is to try everything at the same time. And in their head, they're like, well, I've tried all these different things in isolation, but maybe if I just mash it all together, that's the secret recipe or the formula that I was missing. It doesn't work. You have so many other responsibilities. So like you said, instead, what's going to move the needle every single day, every single week, and just creating really basic habits that you can commit to. And then once you're really good at those, then layer other things on. And I like the fact that you pointed out, like, I'm sure we were talking about all the restaurants that you're going around to, right? Like, naturally, compared to maybe the average person that I would work with, you probably go out to eat pretty often. Mm-hmm. So if you know that that's something about your environment, we don't want to sit here and be like, never go out to eat again. That's complete bullshit. It's ridiculous. That'll last you like maybe 2 months, if that, maybe 2 weeks, because then you're like, I got to go do some more content. And what are you going to do? Tell these restaurant owners that you're interviewing that you're not going to eat there?
Right.
Like, right? That makes no sense. So instead, it's saying, hey, if this is a behavior that I do 6 times a week, can I cut it to 4? Or like your really small example of the bread, right? Mm-hmm. That is such a big one. And I would even take it a step back to say, if you notice that you're really inclined to reach for something like that, I could guess you probably have hours in between your meals. So when you're sitting down for that one, you're really hungry, and therefore the bread's just that much more tempting. I don't care what kind of freaking willpower you have, because mm-hmm. I don't have it. So it's more of like, let's design your day in a way that like you're really prioritizing protein right before you walk into a restaurant like that, so that you're just naturally going to be in a headspace to make better choices.
Sure. Yeah.
And then again, layer on from there. Like, start with something that's very important for you. Like, I pick on that example because for you personally, that would probably move the needle a lot without having to totally change your life. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, plus when I find when you don't eat well, you feel pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Right? So
totally.
Like I know so many times I'm like, oh, I'm going to feel really bad.
Right.
After.
It's so, like, great in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so lately I'm just like, not all the time, but now I'm like, no, I can't do it because I don't want to feel like that after.
Yeah.
You know, important.
Yeah.
Beyond. Listen, especially you saw hitting the ages of 40, you know, it's 25.
Things start to change. I know. Things start to change.
Work
it's
a lot
true.
Harder to make the movement now.
No, it's very true. And, you know, speaking of like mental clarity and things like that and just kind of blocking out the noise, I want to know if you have any other kind of like tactical advice for people when it comes to your routine. Like you said, you put your phone in do not disturb when you go to the gym. Or you mentioned to me, I think this was off air, but you mentioned to me that you have a day on your calendar, then that's the only day you focus on content. Mm-hmm. What are some other things you do around your routine that really help you stay mentally sharp just in terms of like how you structure your schedule?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, well, it wasn't always this way, but I think I'm just going to use the word commitment. You mm-hmm. know, when you're going to do something, you have to commit to it. So I think I've been a lot more disciplined on saying like, this is the day and time I'm going to do this. And it doesn't really matter what comes up. This does not get canceled. I would say this probably isn't the most straightforward response, but I think for me, it's really just being in my own head, okay. You know, and holding myself accountable, which I know isn't easy. It's not easy for people to hold themselves accountable, but I believe I'm personally in a mind space right now that I know if I want results, that I have to hold myself accountable. And if I don't, then I understand that those results are going to slip a little bit. And when I say results, I mean those results are, you know, there's so many different areas, right? Do I want to pick up more business? Do I want to engage with more people on the social platform? Mm-hmm. Do I want to shed 5 pounds for the week? You know, do I want to have better conversations? Again, be a good person and work hard. Nothing happens. There's no magic. There's no magic.
There's not.
Right? We wish there was, but there's no magic. I did want to, you know, share one more thing you were talking about earlier with, you know, social media and what kind of impact does this have on people and how you can lose 20, 30 minutes just scrolling. And surprisingly, you know, I produce all this content and the truth, I'm sure no one would believe it. I don't even watch half the stuff I produce.
Really?
I mean, I'll glance at it quick, but I don't really, you know, and sometimes if I have time, I'll try to, but... for me, it's like, nope, that was me.
Yeah.
Jude was authentic. Mm-hmm. That's released. There's nothing for me to watch. That was me.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go back, watch, second guess. Should I have said this? Should I have done this? That was me. I think once you become that comfortable, you talked a little earlier about confidence. You were talking about how getting results and becoming confident. With small improvements every day, I found my confidence level. I'm probably more confident than a guy who's a bodybuilder right now.
Sure.
You know, from a mental.
Sure. Standpoint. And I think that's the most important. And I will say, too, I never listen back to my podcast episodes. And I'm sure if I went back and listened to like episode one, we're now at 111. I would totally cringe.
You're at 111? Yeah. God mm-hmm. bless.
I would totally cringe at some of the things that I've said or the way I said things. But I would like... dissect the shit out of these episodes, chop them up, cut things if I didn't like how I worded something or felt that I was speaking for too long. Like mm-hmm. that's definitely an art that I've learned interviewing as many people and just getting your reps in, right? But I just find like I'll spend more time looking at other people's content a lot of times for like ideas of like, oh, like this person used this reel to highlight this or whatever it is.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's more of like I'm getting to the end of my day and I just like want to take a few minutes. And there's, like I said, lots of other productive things I could do to fill my time, even if it's just like reading a book or like setting better boundaries with my phone after 10 o'clock, like before I go to bed, stuff like
111
that.
111
episodes.
Yeah. So this is why your tan looks so great, because we got this light on us for 111 episodes. I'm going to come here just to tan.
Right? I feel like I don't have a tan, so I appreciate the compliment.
You should have told me to bring my suntan lotion.
Well, I don't want to keep you, and we are just coming up on time here. I wrap up every episode with a really quick rapid fire round.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a couple different questions. It can be about anything. Fitness, food, all the different things. You ready? Okay, so if you can only do one exercise, like one movement for the rest of your life.
Push-ups.
Okay, nice. I like that. Cool. Least favorite exercise, if you'd never, you could avoid it if you'd never have to do it again.
Definitely cardio.
Okay, I'm with you there. Same. Yeah. Go for a walk, you're good.
Yeah.
This one might put you on the spot. So I'll start with New York.
You can't put me on the spot. I don't know if you noticed that.
Adam. Absolute favorite restaurant in New York City.
In New York City.
Yes.
Favorite restaurant. I mean, there's a lot, but Peter Lugas.
Oh, God. That was a quick answer. I don't know if you're going to want to commit to picking a favorite locally. Do you have a favorite restaurant in Red Bank?
I mean, there's a few answers for that, but if like, are we going to hyper-focus on Italian, on, you know, so.
Give me like your top three. Let's do it
all
that
right,
way.
Ready? Yeah. Gabriella's.
Okay.
And they all have to be in Red Bank, right?
Yep.
Gabriella's. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone to kill me. I mean, but you know what? Somebody's in Middletown, somewhere in Red Bank. Gabriella's. And there's this Chinese joint on Broad Street, which was called Temple, but it's not called Temple anymore. Next
I
to
don't
Prep.
I know it.
Beijing, number
two. Oh, yeah, I do.
Love,
know
so okay. I'm going to give you a little variety.
Yeah, give us some variety.
And then,
different cuisines.
And then, listen, I'll keep it simple. I really love, I'm drawing a blank.
What type of food?
Hold on. I got it. And then the last one I give, Robinson Ale House.
Okay.
Yes. So I gave you three good varieties,
yeah, right?
I gave
fair.
You like.
Good. Yeah.
Those
I
are
like
my three
it.
In Red Bank. But I will say I'm very partial to New York. Although a lot of people from New York are coming out here and opening
true.
Up restaurants anyway.
That's true.
You know? Where do you think Frankie Bruce goes from?
Right.
Staten
exactly.
Island.
It's true. No, there's a lot of even Asbury, there's a couple Staten Island places that are coming in. I went to this Italian place that was also, I think it was in Staten Island, like Fantasia or something like that. It's really good. Maybe we should put
in
that
Asbury?
On your list. It's good. Yeah. Very good pasta.
Joe Romano, the insurance.
There you go. See? I'm going to put that on your list and DM it to you. All right. Very last question and an important one at that. Where can people find you? How can we stay connected with you? We'll link all this down in the show notes, but, you know, give us your shameless plug.
I mean, best
there.
Way to find me. I know TikTok's a huge platform right now. Best way to find me, The Insurance Goat on Instagram.
Beautiful.
Best way to find
love
me.
Love it.
Same on TikTok, The Insurance Goat. Same on YouTube, The Insurance Goat. And now on Threads, The Insurance Goat.
I know. You got to add that platform.
Yeah.
I'm excited about
it.
I think it's going to be good. Yeah, well, cool. Well, thank you again for your time. I'm really excited for the Fix listeners to give us some feedback on this episode and hear what everyone's takes are from it. We'll have some good clips to share.
They want
to
see good push-ups.
Yeah.
I'll
I think apparently we're going to have to do that
yes.
to promote this episode.
Yeah.
You got to put your money where your mouth
yeah,
is over
listen,
there, dude.
I do 85. No problem.
There you go. Perfect. All right. We're going to hold you to that. Well, to everybody out there who joined us today, thank you for tuning in. You guys know the drill. If you liked the episode, if you any of the messages resonated with you, share it, put it on your Instagram story, send it to a friend, text it over to somebody. If anything in it is inspiring to you or you think will be inspiring to them, something I love about podcast episodes is they're a great way to start a conversation with somebody in your life, family member, friend, whoever it is, coworker. It's a really good way to kind of connect over something or maybe even bring something up that you didn't really know how to broach as a subject with people before. So share it. If you really loved it, leave us a review because that helps us get more listeners to the show too. So make sure it's 5 stars.
111 in. Let's
yeah.
go. Keep going.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Jude. I appreciate that. But from wherever you guys are listening from, as always, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kristen.